How are you? Welcome to the Entrepreneur Experiment podcast with me, Gary Fox. Each weekend, I bring you 10 to 15 minutes of our most impactful guests, their mentor moments, and they set you up for the week ahead. Today, it's Mark McCabe. He was one of the first employees at Airbnb, and he's now a full-time investor. Today, he answers for us that age-old question: what are investors looking for when they look at an entrepreneur and look at a business? Here is your mentor moment with Mark McCabe. First, quick thank you to my partners. Over the past 5 years in this podcast, I've spoken to loads of amazing Irish businesses who grew from one idea to become world-class companies, able to compete with the best on the international stage. And many of those started up and grew with the help of their local enterprise office. From starting or growing to become more sustainable or digitization, the local enterprise offices have everything to help make it happen for your business. Visit localenterprise.ie or click the link in the bio below. Okay, you know me. You know I'm massively into my health, fitness, and training. But there's one thing I haven't spoken about before, and that is a product I take every single day. It's a product called Resilience, and it's made by an Irish company called Ethos. What's kind of funny is that every single entrepreneur I meet, that is the one characteristic they have: incredible resilience. So I like that little play on words. It's a multifunctional supplement that supports cognitive function, immunity, which is super important this time of year, energy levels, and it keeps stress at bay. I also love it because it's easy. If you're bringing anything new habit into your life, it has to be easy, and taking Resilience is so simple. I simply mix it in a glass of water every single morning, and I always throw a couple of extra in my gym bag to keep them with me. It's a really tasty blood orange flavor as well. It ticks all the boxes. It has B vitamins, amino acids, vitamin C, and adaptogens like reishi mushroom and ashwagandha. So if you want to try it, I think you should. Go to weareethos.com. And because I like it so much, the guys have given me a discount code. So if you go to weareethos.com, enter Gary Fox at the checkout, you'll get 20% off, which makes taking Resilience about €1 a day, which is an unbelievable price for building some inner resilience. Check out weareethos.com. If you've been listening for a while, you'll know Iconic Offices have been my partner and home in the pod for a long time now. Working and recording in their spaces has helped support the ambitious goals of the pod, and to be honest, really helped it grow. So I partner with them to give you, my fellow entrepreneurs, the opportunity to work from Iconic Offices spaces and experience it for yourself. No fees, no catches. Simply visit the Iconic Offices link in the show notes below and enter the code GARY24 and claim your free co-working day pass, or bring the whole team with you and book a day office. What would you look for when you were still early in your career as a scout and as a VC and learning your skills? What were you looking for in potential investments and potential entrepreneurs? Because a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this, or aspiring entrepreneurs. What were you looking for in them?
You know, it is fairly intangible. It feels intangible. I was talking about areas of clarity at the start, and I sort of see it that, you know, maybe 50% of startups that you meet, you sort of know you should pass on right away. And then there's 0.2% that you know you should invest in right away. And then there's like 49.8% where I could convince myself maybe either way and be both wrong and right all in the same instant. And like, I could invest for a reason. This startup is ultimately successful, and my reason was completely wrong. And I've had situations where the reason was right and the startup failed. And so generally what I'm looking for are a lot of personality traits. I think to distill them, one word I use a lot is insight. I think insight kind of distills a lot of what I'm looking for. It's a clarity of thought. It's a kind of 360 perspective on what they're doing. Someone who doesn't just think about like why this product would be cool and wouldn't it be amazing if we could do this. They also then think why people need this and why building to support this gives them all this leverage to do other things that they really know they need to do to be successful in the kind of area that they're building in. So it's this level of clarity and insight. It's you know, some proof that they've been able to execute on building products in the past. It's more of a kind of a baseline almost now, I think, for a lot of people. But, you know, if they've successfully scaled, like I think in SaaS, it's really interesting. Like if you've successfully scaled up a SaaS company, you're maybe a head of sales or you were a head of engineering, you've built this network in SaaS companies. You needed your first 10 companies who were probably SaaS companies to use this. You've been at conferences, you've hired people from different companies, you've traded notes, you've built this network. And it's such an unfair advantage when you go to start your own SaaS company. You have your first 10 customers or people who aren't going to, people are going to respond to your first email and they're going to take you seriously because they've seen what you've done. So there's certainly like a career trajectory that I think is important. And then I think those are really just like the two most important things. There's other technical things, like for me in the kind of checks that I write, I want to see that other smart people either are on board with what you're doing. And so references and how you get introduced to me, you know, it does have an influence. It's hard to deny it. And to be honest, like if Steve Jobs introduced a startup to you, like that's probably reduced your decision-making down to about a millisecond. Whereas if someone you don't really know as well introduces a startup to you. So it has a real impact. And, you know, I tend to think that smart people don't have a lot of patience for other non-smart people. And you see these kind of clusters of really brilliant people finding each other and working together. And so I think the network really matters.
So you were simultaneously building two careers side by side, essentially. You were building your Airbnb career and you're also scouting on the side. At what point did you decide, you know what, I've taken it as far as I can go in Airbnb and now I want to pursue my own thing or I want to pursue venture? Was there a moment or were you kind of going, you know what, I'm going to step back and just see what happens?
I think like anyone who's worked at one of these companies that scaled up at that speed, they probably thought about quitting like once every 6 months. So, you know, I think it was actually when I had my second son, and I was on paternity leave and I had sort of this time to reflect a little bit. And there was this idea that had been kind of gnawing at me, but it was a weird idea. I hadn't really seen other people do it. And it was essentially to help founders raise capital. And the only really clear example I had of it was with Ron, my first boss at SV Angel, Ron Conway. And he would take a few companies under his wing every year and just completely orchestrate their fundraising process. He would introduce them to every investor. He would double check with those investors. It was wild. And he has been instrumental in so many rounds and no one's really ever known it.
So he'd pick a couple of people. He really was like, right, I'm going to shape them. I believe in them. They're a little bit raw and I'm going to be kind of like the secret guiding hand bringing them along. Was that kind of his model?
Yeah, very much. And Airbnb Series B actually was one of those. Like we were in New York for TechCrunch Disrupt, I remember. And Ron had to disappear into a hotel room with the founders for 3 days. And by the end of it, the round was done. And there was a lot of messing actually that was kind of going on that he was helping to manage. And I just thought like, wow, that's so valuable. This kind of impartial person who's deep in the game, but like also has this kind of moral line to them. And I thought it was so cool. And yet I felt like I'd had lots of friends leave Airbnb and go and trade and raise capital for their new ventures. And they would often ask me, hey, will you look at my deck? Will you make some introductions, knowing I'd worked in VC? And I would do all this. And you know, then maybe I wouldn't hear from them for 4 or 5 weeks. And I'd check in and they'd say, oh, you know what? It was too hard. Like people didn't get it. It didn't work. And I remember thinking, you know, I think it's a very asymmetrical process. You have founders on one end who, if they're experienced, they've raised capital 4 or 5 times in their lives. And that's if they're really experienced at raising capital. And then on the other side, you have, you know, venture investors who do this every single day and this is their living. And I felt that, you know, there was an opportunity to help, you know, make it work better. And I think as someone who'd worked at a marketplace, you know, I just felt like it was so inefficient. And so I was off on paternity leave. And I remember Y Combinator announced that they were doing a Series A program. And I was like, ah, someone else is thinking of this. And the Series A program was designed to help their companies who had gone through YC as seed companies to then raise that first growth round. And I thought, well, if they think there's something valuable here, maybe maybe this is really something to do, because it was sort of just an informal activity that VCs would do. They would help their portfolio companies, some more than others. Ron was a really extreme example from what I'd seen and how much he assisted with those rounds. And right at that time, that boss, that first mentor at Airbnb, Akbar Tabani, he'd gone to start a company, gotten into YC. I'd helped him actually raise a seed round. He was now going to raise his first gross round. And he came back to me and said, hey, do you think there's any investors who might be interested in this? And I said, better than that. How about I'm gonna like help you through every single step of your fundraising process. And I'm thinking of starting a business around this. And he said, okay, awesome. And we did that. He raised a Series A. And that was like my last 2 months at Airbnb. I decided I was going to start that full time.
Okay. That's a phenomenal story. So you then left to become a guide essentially for companies, because it often seems very adversarial. It's almost kind of like a them and us scenario. You have the startups over here, and then you have the evil VCs over here trying to like pick the best ones. And it seems so obvious when you say it that there should be this middle ground somewhere whereby if people who've done it so many times can go, right, okay, here we are. It's just in terms of matching capital, matching talent, and matching personalities. So that's where essentially you decided to sit.
Yeah, and I think, you know, startup building is very chaotic. It's very go, go, go. It's very emergent, right? Things just hit you in the face and you deal with them and you move on to the next one. And, you know, I think raising money is a lot more like planning a wedding. It's thoughtful. It's about precision. It's about planning. You know, I would see founders just kind of say, hey, there's been 5 VCs inbound, so I'm just going to talk to those 5. And, you know, YC just published some research saying that they see on average 1 term sheet for every 30 investor conversations. Mm-hmm. And that sample is biased for like some of the best startups in Silicon Valley as is.
And you so already have say, the no, social no, no, proof no. of YC. You've already gone and got social proof in the first place. So you're already kind of a hot ticket. So you're already getting the best of the best as it is. So yeah, you do have the it's skewed towards you.
And, you know, I say all this, it's not easy. It's not easy to build a network of investors. It's not easy to cold outreach and start that. So I'm simplifying a little bit, but there's still a better way than just reacting to whatever comes in your inbox and thinking that's my fundraising journey.
I hope you enjoyed that chat with Mark. To go back and listen to the full episode, it's episode 228, and that is Mark McCabe. I'll see you back here in a couple of days for a brand new episode.